This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us, and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening, and we trust the broadcast to be a blessing to you. I would like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio with the listeners. Thank you, Father, Lord, most of all that we can come, Lord, into thy presence today, Lord. We bless your holy name. We want to give you the glory and honor for all that you've done for us, Lord. We realize we're insufficient of ourselves. I'm glad our sufficiency is of the Lord. God, we come to you once again asking you to bless the broadcast, bless the mission work, the children's homes, all the work that you're put on our hearts to do. Help us, Lord, that we'd know how to follow and listen to you and, God, get our instructions from you and go that way. Despite what the world says or anyone else, we want to know what thus saith the Lord. And God, so we bow before you. Thank you one more time for this opportunity. Ask you to get the glory and honor through it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. Ask you to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, as well as the one in Romania, all the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria, and the churches in those regions also, as well as Ukraine. I ask you to continue to please pray for the missionaries, especially in the Ukraine right now, with all of this turmoil that's going on, the war and things like that with Russia, and as bad as that is, it seems like the people in that region has opened their heart to the gospel, and ever what the Lord uses to do this, we're thankful, and pray that the missionaries would continue to be protected and safe by the Lord, and be able to go in and out and preach the word of God. They've been going in and out and having a lot of different meetings, different than before. You know, I mean, there's established churches and things like that, but now they're going in and having kind of open air meetings, different things like that, and just going to different places and spreading the gospel. And so we're very thankful for this opportunity that the Lord's given us, but please pray that the souls would be receptive to the word of God, and we'll thank you for all that you do, all your prayers, financial support, everything that you've done for this ministry for many, many years. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you. We're looking forward to seeing what the Lord does in the future. But anyway, I would like to give you our mailing addresses. Ask you to write us this week if you could. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust it'll be a blessing to you.
Well, if you have your Bible, look with me this evening to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. But I appreciate the Lord, and I'm glad to be in his house. And we need him more than we realize. And I thought the other day, I heard this expression that the missions conference is a business meeting of the church to determine the fate of the lost. And I thought that was pretty good, but I think every time we get together determines something. See, this is a spiritual organization, and we're a living entity. And this is different than the Moose Lodge or VFW or anything like that. When the children of God get together, there's something spiritual, something supernatural that takes place or ought to take place. And we meet together around the name of the Lord Jesus, and we meet with expectation of receiving something not of this world. Listen, if you've come here for self-help or for words of positive reinforcement. You can find that in a lot of other places. We need something spiritual, something that will affect us, something that will do a work beyond this outer man, that will get and refresh and help and feed that inner man. You know, I'm convinced that the falling away is not necessarily a lack of church attendance. I don't think it's that in the last days churches will be, sort of like we are tonight. I was going to look for a different example, but I don't think that's it. I think they've departed from the faith, and we'll look. They'll still be there. They'll still attend, but there's no living quality. There's no glory. There's no power. There's nothing. It's just come and hear and leave, and there's no power to change, to alter, to make a single difference. There's no power to alter us outside, and there's no power to change the world out there. There's no power to make a difference. There's no salt to preserve. There's no salt to sting. There's no salt to cure, to heal, to bind. It's all diminished. And what does Scripture say? What did Jesus say? It's good for nothing. And that's religion in these days, good for nothing. That's what he said, but to be trodden underfoot of men. But we meet here in expectation. That's what the word hope means, in expectation that the Lord would meet with us and the Lord would be our difference. You remember in the Exodus over there, after he had given Moses the commandments and the children of Israel had sinned, the Lord said, Moses, I'm tired of this. You take those people and go into the land that I've promised. And that was a scary proposition to Moses. He said, Lord, if you're not going, I'm not going. Lord, he said, what in the world am I supposed to do with this people? If you go not with us, carry us up not hence. He said, you're the one that makes the difference. You're the one that distinguishes us from all the other nations. Apart from you, there are nations that have other laws. There are nations that have commandments, that have rules. There are nations that have gods, but it's your divine presence that makes us different, that separates us. And it's the presence of God, the very real presence of God, that makes the difference in the church. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. Amen. So let's look here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I want to preach a few things about the last days that we're in, and I won't be before you long. The Bible said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And I want you to notice right there, those aren't the usual litany of sins that stir people up and get people in such a tizzy, but those are the sins that produce a perilous time. Baptist circles, we want to put the kibosh on about a handful of sins, and we think if we can suppress a few sins of the flesh, why then that'll make a change in the world. But no, these sins here aren't usually mentioned in those things, but these are the sins that make this world perilous to live in. When men love their own selves, and that's the first one, men shall be lovers of their own selves to the detriment of everybody else. And when men elevate themselves or put themselves and their wants, and it leads to men lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And if that's not the day we're in, I don't know. I'm blind and can't see afar off. But men shall be, I preach this overseas one day, and I read this verse and said, men shall be lovers of their own selfies. I think that's the day that we're living in. Men are lovers of their own selfies, like great big strong men. I mean, looking at taking pictures of themselves and backgrounds and changing, and oh my Lord. We're less perilous times. I was talking to Gary Stike one day, telling him about a restaurant down in Asheville and some breakfast restaurant down there that we went to, and they had on the menu, it said bacon of the day, and it was some sort of cranberry caramelized whatever. And Brother Gary said, when they've touched the bacon, son, the country's gone. When they go messing with the bacon, we're under. It's gone. But the Apostle Paul says we're living in perilous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. That list of sins seems like a required virtues in a political candidate nowadays. That seems like the average list of traits of a political candidate, but that's the day that we're living in. He said, now look at this. This is the accumulation of that, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, all of these things reduced down, that doesn't make them irreligious. No, that having a fault, they've taken all these things and wrapped it in godliness. They've taken all these things and wrapped it in the cloak of righteousness. Matter of fact, when the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter both, and John for that matter, when they go writing about the last days, they don't start outside the four walls of the church and talk about what it's like out there. They first start within. And they first start. I'd preaching the other day when Paul said, you'll see my face no more, and after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock, and certain of your own selves shall arise with doctrines of devils, and they'll lead many astray. It starts at the beginning, and here's a crowd that has a form of godliness, and it looks and it is presentable and is presented as godliness, but there's no power behind it. And that's the frightening thing. It looks and it makes a good appearance, but there's no power in it. The Apostle Paul, he said at a certain juncture that men were contesting about his authority, and he said, I'm not coming to hear their speech or their preaching, but he said, I want to see the power. Let's see who's got the power. You remember back there in the book of, in the Old Testament, the Lord Elijah said, let's just see who's got the power in all this, and let God's power be seen in all of it. And we're living in days where there's a form of godliness, but they have not just turned away from the power, but denied the power thereof. And the instruction for the child of God is, from such turn away. Turn away from that stuff that appears godly, but has no power in it. If there's no power, it won't help you. If there's no power, it won't change you. If there's no power, it won't save you. It'll just make you a proselyte. It'll make you look good. It'll make you talk good. It'll clean you up outside, but it won't change you inside. You need power to change you. Listen, he's talking here about the last times. And if there's ever an occasion ever in the history of the church that power is required, it's the last time. We can't afford to be playing the game. We can't afford, like Brother Mike said this morning, the appearance of churchiness and to go through the ritual or the form of it. No, we've got to have some power. I appreciate what Elena said during the camp meeting. She said, you know, we don't always see it like we want to, but you'll never sell us a false bill of goods. Yeah. I might not always enjoy it like I have in the past, but I know the difference, and you won't sell me on anything else. You won't slap a label on it and try to pass it off. We know the difference. We long for the difference. He said, from such turn away. Now he's preaching about or writing about the last days. He said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That doesn't sound like our day. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. These are open contenders against the real thing. They need to suppress real religion. They need to suppress the real thing. That if there's any fire, if there's any power, if there's any love, if there's any glory, they've got to marginalize it and deny it, and they've got to try to turn people away from it. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now verse number 10, but thou hast known, fully known, my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And I want to say something right there. Paul saying, this is them. They have a form of godliness, but they've no power. The other thing they don't have is persecution. That crowd that has godliness, but no power, there's no persecution. The devil's not against them. The devil's not assailing them. There is no fight. There is no conflict. He'll pack their pews. He'll fill their pulpits. He'll fill their coffers. And he don't care how big the offering is. He know it ain't going nowhere to do nothing no how. He don't care how much they give or how big the building is or how great the show is. He's not against that at all. But Paul said, hey, I've been through the ring. I've been through the fire. I've been through the furnace. I've been through the storms. And God's power, God has delivered me every time. Amen. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Now I want you to notice that word, I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're in perilous times. And Paul says, I don't mean to alarm you, but it's not going to get easier before we get out of here. It's going to grow worse and worse. And that thought got on my mind. Well, what does Paul advise then in verse number 14? If we're in the last days, if we're in days of godliness but no power, or a form of godliness, a presentation of godliness but no power, you know what I notice about godliness with no power? There's no gospel to it. That you can't find the gospel in any of them things. Listen to Joel Osteen all you want. You'll never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to any of that crowd. They don't talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't talk about none of that stuff. It's all sensual. It's all devilish. It's all how you feel, how you can cope, how you can smile, how you can get ahead, how you can pick up, how can you carry on. And it don't mention Jesus or how he suffered and bled and died and was buried and rose again the third day according to, they leave off all of that business. There's no power in it. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. Now, Paul, all right, we're in perilous times. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. What do you want us to do? Verse 14. but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so Paul here says, I want to tell you this. God hadn't changed his model for these last days. God hadn't altered the blueprint for the last days. This thing is sufficient. Did you realize that all the blueprints God ever gave in the scriptures never deviated one little bit? He didn't come down halfway through the ark building program and said, now, Noah, I think we ought to make this little change here for this sake. No, his blueprint was sufficient for the entirety, for it all. He never once deviated from it. He never once altered it. And God's blueprint is still sufficient. And if God tarries, it'll be sufficient 1,000 years from now. He won't have changed it one little bit. And everybody wants to change the blueprint, and everybody wants to go about a different way, and everybody wants to try to take a different tact, or we need to introduce this. Paul said, you just continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. It's not going to get any easier. I thought about this morning. We're in days where, I think I said it in the prayer room the other night, it's just pestilence. That's what he told us in Matthew 24. Pestilence, it's just these viruses and things like that. They're not going to lessen up. Isn't it amazing? All these scientific advances to extend the length of men's life, but they can't make the quality of men's life any better at all. Gracious me, if I got to be 100 and going through viruses like I just went through, forget it. Forget it. I don't want it. But he said, here, what do you want? He said, continue that. It's going to get worse, but you just buckle down and you stay with what you've been shown. And I want to say a few things here in verse number 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Stay with the Scriptures. Yeah. Stay with the Scriptures in the day that you're living in. You see, that's the departing. That's the when you depart from the Scriptures, you're gone. When you depart, when you base your faith on anything other than the Scriptures, you're gone. I appreciate the experiences that we've had, but in the storm and in the trouble and in trials and in difficulties, it's the Word of God that upholds us. It's the Word of God and the promises of the Scripture that sustain us. That we are kept in, the world is kept in store by the Word of God. All of these preachers, all of these apostles who are writing to these saints in the last days, all of them remind you again and again and again, stay with the Scripture. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Stay with the Scriptures. Matter of fact, when John goes to tell the seven churches, the Lord says, write it down. This revelation, all that you've seen, write it down. Why? That not only they might have it, but that you and I might have it. Thank God. Amen. Stay with the Scriptures. When you deviate from them, when you decide to wing it on your own, the Scriptures are our anchor. They're our foundation. They're our security. They're what? Hey, listen, all flesh is grass, and the glory thereof is the flower of grass. We can't trust this flesh, or we can't trust our mind, but we can trust the Scriptures, thank God. They abide forever. So he tells you, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. What about this last day? What about this last day when things are getting worse? Make your children to know the Holy Scriptures. Yes, sir. Amen. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Teach your children the Bible. I mean, read the Bible with them. Get the Word of God in their ears. Get it in their hearts. They might not altogether always pay attention to it. I didn't. But it's the seed, and it's sown. And you don't know which one will find a lodge, and you don't know which one will come out of their mouths at a certain point. If I know anything, I just paying attention to this least one of mine, he can catch things and repeat them. I mean, you think, where in the world he hear thing one time and then going down the road repeat it? And you think, where in the world did he hear that? Or how in the world did he pick that up? How in the world did he glean that? Where in the world did that come from? And so too with the scriptures. Get the scriptures, read the scriptures, inundate them with the scriptures. One day that scripture will find a lodging place in their heart, and it'll break the heart of stone, thank God. The heart of adamant, the granite heart. It can break it up, thank God, and bring life to it. Don't forsake the scriptures. I'm going to say secondly, he said in verse number 4, let me say this, and this is strange to say it. He said in verse number 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He talks about the scriptures for the child, but he says the scriptures for the man of God. In other words, I wonder if Paul was worried about people preaching without the scriptures. Or preaching not from the scriptures and deviating and turning from the scriptures. There's examples of that all over. I won't go into too many of them. I've told you about them before. Told you about the fella in the village, and he's blind, and he said the unpardonable sin was, it changed every time. I told you about that. Every time you saw him, it was a different unpardonable sin. He was one that said it was adultery. The pardonable sin was adultery. And Zach said, that ain't in the scripture. He said, oh, Zach, you know it is. You know, he ain't read the scriptures. He said, well, show me. He said, oh, Zach, you know it is. You just, he couldn't show you nothing. But it's strange there that he would tell the man of God, hey, man of God, the scriptures are for you. We get the tendency, we want to preach against everything and every fad and every trend. But if you preach a scripture, brother, it'll do the job. Amen. Amen. We got, I used to know a fella go between services. He'd go out and he'd peep in people's cars. You know, he'd peep in people's cars. And back in them days before we had everything on your phone or whatever, you had these things called cassettes. You had cassettes. And even before that, we had 8-tracks. But we had cassettes, and you'd seek. And then he got into CDs, and he'd go peeking through people's cars. And then he had a word of knowledge that he's going to preach on. He's either going to preach on country music, or he's going to preach on rock and roll music, or he's going to preach on smooth jazz. I don't know. Whatever. He just got this word of knowledge all of a sudden, but he'd going around peeping in people's cars. Some of you are still messing around with tobacco products, and God has showed me. Well, God ain't showed you nothing. You went looking. But you got people, and they preach on a litany of things, but they don't preach the scriptures. The scriptures are alive. The scriptures are a balm. The scriptures are grace. The scriptures are peace. The scriptures can do all of those things that you want to see done and do it right so that there'll not be any repentance necessary. Amen. Godly sorrow. Oh, you can get people up to the altar and you can get people to weep around, but it won't change them. It's the scripture that'll do that, that'll change a man's heart.
We trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And until next week, God bless you.